Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor David. Pastor David here again, joining you live and in person. That has not always been the case this year, and I'm so thankful to be able to see you who've joined us in person here in the room. Thank you for being a part of this church. I want to say welcome as well to those of you joining us online, wherever you are and whenever you are. Welcome. And I'm so glad that you are part of this church as well. Well, especially in 2020, I know that life can be nuts. I understand that. As a pastor, I certainly hear a lot of that from you as well. So as a church, we help people find stability and hope in this crazy world by sharing good news every week. And I hope that you experience that today. As we continue this morning, I have two quick things for you. The first is this. Next Sunday, November 22nd, is the fourth Sunday of the month. And hopefully you know what that means. That means that as a church, we're serving dinner at the Pillars Adult Homeless Shelter in downtown Appleton. And so we have a number of needs left for that dinner. Next week, we have food items that need to be claimed by you. And we also have the need for a number of people to help serve dinner as well. I understand next week is the week before Thanksgiving, and so some of you might be traveling out of town for Thanksgiving, and I know this Thanksgiving is going to be a little bit different than normal, but if you're gone, that's totally fine. Join us next month at the shelter. But if you're around, especially if you're in town, please, we could use your help. Please go to appletongospel.com/events, and you'll find a link to our meal sign up there. And thank you for your help. It's going to be fun. Last month, since we were online only, we provided the food, but we didn't serve dinner. This month, we're back serving as well. So that'll be great. Well, secondly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, it says this: "But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." So giving financial gifts and offerings to support the work of ministry has always been a part of life for the people of God, and it's always been a source of grace as well for the people of God. So today, if you'd like to give any amount, please go to appletongospel.com/give, and there are some options there, or you can text an amount you'd like to give to 84321. Or you can, if you're in the live and in person, you can use the giving boxes by the exit doors as well. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who are able to give today. So let's pray as we continue in our worship together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that we can gather as your people. Thank you that we can join our hearts together in worship, in singing, in praying, in preaching, and giving, and serving, in all the different ways that we respond to who you are and what you have done for us in Christ. I pray, Father, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence and your power today, so that we might not just hear the word of God, but we might hear and believe and obey in response, and that obedience would shape the direction of our lives, that it would shape us and transform us to be more like Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, well, all year we're focusing on the person and work of Jesus. Hopefully that's not new information for you. Well, today we're continuing in a sermon series called What Did Jesus Teach? What did Jesus teach? And before the cross, Jesus' primary ministry was in preaching and teaching, both in public to crowds of people and also in private, usually with his disciples, a smaller group of people. So a very important question for those of us who are trying to be disciples or followers of Jesus today is, what did Jesus teach? Well, last week we started this series by learning about the great big beating heart of God, our Father in heaven, for people who are lost, both people that run far from God and people that run from God through religion as well. And we saw this in three parables: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost sons. If you missed that, you can go back and watch online or listen to the podcast if you'd like. Well, today, and I cannot stress this enough, I know what year it is. I know that it's 2020, Okay, I understand that we're in the middle of a global pandemic. I know that we just, basically just got through a very difficult election season. I know that everybody, maybe you today, are angry and stressed out in every direction. I understand that. Like, I hear people and see what's going on in the world. But today, we're going to consider the teaching of Jesus on how to have a fruitful life. What? In a year when so many things have been canceled, much of life is shut down, and who knows what will happen next. Now, we can have a fruitful life. Really? Yes. Even in 2020, you can find and actually enjoy a fruitful life. How? Well, if you have your Bible or Bible app, please take that and open it to John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. If you're not sure where the book of John is in the Bible, go to the table of contents at the beginning and work your way from there. John 15, verse 1. We'll put it up on the screen as well. So please read along with me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is God's word. So again, in a year of uncertainty and chaos, when so many of our plans have been put on hold, here Jesus is teaching that his disciples, his followers, people who are learning his way of life and trust in him, will find and enjoy a fruitful life. So as we unpack this text today from John 15, we're going to look at three things. First, our longing for a fruitful life. Second, the beginning of a fruitful life. And third, the process of becoming more fruitful. So first, our longing for a fruitful life. So it's no secret that universally, people everywhere, no matter who you are or what language you speak, people want their lives to have meaning and purpose. People seek out meaning and purpose. They want their lives to count for something greater than themselves. They want at the end of their lives to be able to look back and say, it was all worth it for this. And this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing, but according to the Bible, this is actually a God thing. It's a result of the way God has made people. Despite being mortal creatures, God has set eternity in our hearts. And despite the brokenness of sin in the world and in within us as well, God has formed us, formed human beings in the image of God. So we have all of these internal longings for the things that God desires, things like righteousness and beauty and holiness and justice and fruitfulness. We have a deep memory of the way things were intended to be before the power and corruption of sin and death. And so we long to have lives that are productive and worthwhile. It bothers us to be lazy for too long. Now, a little laziness is really great. It's a wonderful blessing. Taking a nap is beautiful. But if you nap constantly, eventually, maybe some of you longer than others, you will start to get a little antsy. There must be something more to this life. Not just about consuming, but there must be more in the way of production. What is the fruit of life? And yet so often, and maybe especially this year, it seems that we find more thorns and thistles in the fields of our labors, more weeds in the gardens of our homes and hearts and work and wealth than fruit. Well, the ancient people of Israel knew this longing as well. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, if you've ever actually read through the Bible, and it is a big book, so it's hard to read through. But if you've done it, you'll know that there is a record there of generation after generation of people whose lives just seemed to be not as fruitful as they could have been. And these were people that had the words and the works of God. They had the law, they had the prophets. They knew what was true, and yet time and time again, injustice and violence and faithlessness seemed to win the day. Now, of course, God had told his people all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 that this struggle, this longing for a fruitful life would be the case as a result of our fall to sin. Childbirth would be painful and difficult. Our work in and outside the home wouldn't be as fruitful as it could be. God said, "By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." What an apt description of our life experience today. So it is vital for us to understand that this longing from within us for a fruitful life is good and right and true. This is God's desire for us as well. But in this broken world that we live in, and the brokenness that we contribute to the world as well, we will struggle at times with understanding even our own meaning and purpose in life. We will long to find this fruitful life. Can you feel it within you? So where can we learn this? Is it even possible for us to have and enjoy a fruitful life? Well, here, let's come back to the teaching of Jesus that we started with today. And here, I believe we might find a pathway that maybe was hidden to us before that will lead us into a fruitful life. Look back at verse 1. "I am the true vine," Jesus told his disciples, "and my Father is the gardener." Now, in the Old Testament, the vine, the metaphor of a vine, was used in a number of places to represent the people of Israel. However, as I said, the picture painted in the Old Testament is one of fruitlessness. The vine is sick, it's unhealthy, it's not bearing fruit. So for example, in Isaiah chapter 5, if you want to check this out more this week sometime, go back and reread Isaiah chapter 5. God plants a vine, he tends to this vine, he cares for the vine, he shapes the environment around the vine, which represents Israel. But the vine is not fruitful, and it becomes a picture of judgment against the people of Israel. But here, Jesus takes this well-known metaphor, and he applies it to himself, saying, "I am." Now, there's a statement with some theological implications. "I am," Jesus says, "the true vine." And this means that the struggle of ancient Israel to find and enjoy the fruitful life that they had longing within them, and our longing for the fruitful life today, was and is a sign pointing to our need for Jesus, the true vine, the true source of life and nourishment and growth and fruit. He will fulfill the longings of our hearts to find the fruitful life. Well, but how? Well, second, let's talk about the beginning of this fruitful life. That's a longing of the fruitful life, a longing for. Here's the beginning. Here's the start. Here's the connection. Verse 1 and continuing, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener, Jesus taught. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, I suspect not as many of us today plant gardens anymore. I'm just guessing. So the concept of a vine and the work of planting and pruning it probably isn't as familiar to us as it was to the disciples in Jesus' day. Maybe for some of you, if you have experience in gardening. But Jesus says that God the Father works as a gardener or as a vine dresser. He cuts off, he removes every branch that bears no fruit, meaning branches that are not actually connected to the life-giving, nourishing vine of Jesus. While every branch that does bear fruit, he what? He prunes. Why? Jesus says, so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, one of the reasons that I started gardening is not just that I'm an old guy, I'm growing older every day, but I started gardening several years ago at my home because I wanted to better understand what in the world Jesus was talking about with some of these metaphors. And so now I understand what it means to prune something. And let me tell you, okay, to prune usually means cutting off branches that will not grow well or will be unproductive near the bottom of a tomato plant, for example. Why would you do that? So that those branches don't take away energy and nourishment and life from branches that will be stronger and more fruitful up near the top of the plant, for example, near the sun. Those branches will be far more fruitful if you prune the plant. So let's come back to the concept of pruning in part three, okay? Just a few minutes. First, how can we begin this fruitful life? Maybe how can we become connected to the vine of Jesus? Well, let's continue in verse three. Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So it's not easy to see with our English translation of the Bible, but here Jesus connects the act of pruning his disciples by the Father to his own preaching ministry. Where does this come in? Well, the same root word for prunes in verse 2 is translated as clean in verse 3. So the Apostle John is connecting these thoughts for us, and Jesus is telling his disciples that they have already been pruned or cleaned because of the word or the message, the logos of Jesus. And here, Jesus is describing the beginning of the fruitful life. The logos, or the word that Jesus mentions here, is referring to the gospel, or the good news of God. This word is the main content of the teaching of Jesus. Now, we saw this concept in our last series, Saved by Grace, that it is by hearing and believing the word of God, the word of and about Jesus, hearing and believing the gospel. This is both the means of people coming to saving faith in Jesus and also growing in their faith in Jesus. So the disciples of Jesus have already been saved or cleaned by faith in the word of Jesus. To use this metaphor, this is how you can become connected to the vine. You can become grafted in to the vine of Jesus. This is how you can remain or abide in the vine. How? By the living and enduring word of God. by listening to the teaching of Jesus, by being reminded again and again of the good news of the saving work of Jesus, by learning obedience to Christ. This is the wonderful beginning of a fruitful life. The life starts by hearing and believing the word about Jesus. He is the vine, and your life will never bear fruit if you remain disconnected from him. And there's a warning to this as well in verse 5. Let's look at that. I am the vine, you are the branches, speaking to his disciples. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, for the follower of Jesus, here is the promise of Jesus. If you stay connected to me, you will bear much fruit. Not you might. Not like it would be kind of nice or maybe like the best among you. No, if you remain in me, if you stay connected to the nourishing enrichment and life of the vine, God will blossom fruit in your life. Your life will be immensely fruitful. There will be a great harvest of righteousness and peace and all of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. However, the reverse is also true. If you disconnect from Jesus, if you ignore Jesus, if you walk away from Jesus, it's not just that you will be somewhat less fruitful, but you'll still have a lot of fruit in your life. Think about it. A branch can't do anything disconnected from the vine. It's not just that it will be somewhat less fruitful. A vine is the source of life and nourishment for the branch. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. You're disconnected from your source of life and nourishment. You're like a phone with no charger. Not just in the house, in the world. Can you imagine that? It's a nightmare for some of us. We're constantly looking for phone chargers. It's not that apart from Jesus, your life will be mostly fruitful, but if you could connect to him, then it'll really give you a boost. Jesus says that apart from me, you can do nothing, nothing that will last, nothing that will remain fruitful and be fulfilling, nothing that will satisfy you. And a branch that bears no fruit is in danger of the fire of judgment. Startlingly, Jesus says that such lifeless, fruitless branches, people not connected to Jesus, are destined for destruction. So our longing for a fruitful life is good and right and true. It's the life that you were created to live. However, sin has separated us from the very source of life and nourishment that we need in God. So hearing and believing the word of God, putting our faith and trust in the person and the work of Jesus, is how we, as disconnected branches, might reconnect to Jesus, who is our true vine. This is how we might begin to find and enjoy a fruitful life. But then, and this is even more amazing to me, Jesus says that it is God, our Father in heaven, who plays this active role in the lives of his children. God works as what? Now, God is the Lord, the King of heaven and earth, right? At the command of his word, stars obey. But here we have a picture of God working with his hands in the dirt of our lives, playing an active role as a gardener. Our Father tends to us, the branches in his garden that are connected to the vine of his Son. And how does this work? How does God do this work in our lives? Well, first we saw that our longing for the fruitful life points to the true vine. Second, we saw that the beginning of this fruitful life starts in Christ and by faith in his word. And now finally, Jesus teaches us the process of becoming even more fruitful in our life connected to him, in our growing fruitfulness. How does this work? Look at verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So we already saw that the disciples of Jesus were made clean, were saved by the word of God. That God has given us one means by which we come to faith and grow in our faith. That is by hearing and believing the gospel. So the Father does his work of pruning us by applying his powerful, active, living word in greater and richer and deeper ways in the lives of his children. And as we apply the word more and more to different areas of our lives in both good times, but especially in the painful and difficult times, it is then that we grow. It is then that we mature. It's then that we bear fruit, fruit that will last. For Jesus says that no branch can bear fruit by itself. And this is vital for our understanding of the work of spiritual growth. As a Christian, you cannot grow on your own. This is a humbling thought. You must stay. You must remain in the vine. You must stay connected to Jesus. And remaining connected to the vine doesn't mean having a merely affectionate recollection of or mild appreciation for what Jesus has done for you whenever you happen to think about it. It doesn't mean having this sort of nostalgic feeling about the love of God for you, or of having this intermittent or very sporadic contact with the Word of God. That would be like a branch just hanging on by one tiny little thread. That is far too loose of a connection. That type of connection to the vine wouldn't be strong enough to handle the times of pain and suffering and loss when they inevitably come into our lives. We need a stronger connection. You can be saved as a Christian. You can be a Christian, but remain mostly unchanged in your life, not grow very much at all, not produce much fruit at all in your life. If your connection to the vine, if your connection to Christ is weak. But remaining connected to the vine means having the words of Jesus ready in your mind and deep within the contemplations of your heart. Having the word at the ready within you. Now, this requires some work. This requires, as Jesus teaches, both work from God our Father in heaven as he prunes us by the power of his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit in time. But this also requires work from us of meditating deeply on the word of God, of not just reading, not just listening, but considering deeply, turning over the truths of God's word over and over in our minds and in our hearts so that you can see and understand and truly believe who God is and what he has done for us in Christ, who we are created to be and what we are called to do in Christ. But more so, this connection goes beyond our minds and our hearts. It's not just what we know. It's not just what we feel. It's what we actually do. It leads us to be daily committed to obeying the words of Christ, to working, to praying, to speaking, to singing, to acting according to the words of Jesus, who is our true source of life and nourishment. And so, this kind of life, with a strong connection to the true vine who is Christ, a life founded on the Word of God, nourishing us from within and changing us in the direction of our lives. This is the fruitful life. This is a life that experiences more and more of the fruit of love and joy and peace. More and more freedom found in Christ. More and more of the life that God had intended for you from the beginning, from before the creation of the world. And more of the life of heaven, the life that we will enjoy fully one day in the kingdom of God. This is the foundation of a life that is unshakable. Even in the storm, even in the darkest valley, even in the dark of night, you can and will have stability and hope. You will bear fruit, much fruit. You will grow in strength and courage of faith, even in 2020. Last week, we heard a testimony during our baptism service that when Rick shared about his story, he said, most people think 2020 was terrible, but I kind of think it was awesome. There is a life that is able to bear fruit even in a difficult year. Jesus says you will be able to pray and be fruitful. Jesus says you'll be able to glorify God and worship and be fruitful. Jesus says in this passage, you're going to show the world that you are my disciples. And so be fruitful. But do you know why? Do you know why the disciples of Jesus are able to have such a fruitful life? Because of the true vine. Because Jesus was the one who fulfilled the vocation of Israel. So he is the true Israel. He is the one that God planted so that in him we might find life. But when was Jesus planted? Well, this teaching in John chapter 15 comes on the evening before the suffering and death of Jesus Christ on the cross. On the night before Jesus would give his life as a sacrifice to pay the price for the sins of the world and the sins of my life. When Jesus died in our place and was buried, this is when he was planted. And just think, Jesus, the Son of God, and the very source of life was cut off in our place. Jesus was willing to face the fire of judgment and the wrath of God against sin so that we might receive the life and nourishment and not bear the wrath of God, but bear much fruit connected to him. And so on the third day, when God raised him from the dead, he was showing the world that this, my son, is the true vine, the one in whom all people everywhere, no matter where you live or when you live or what language you speak or what your cultural preferences are or anything about you, that you might find life and nourishment and fruit in him. So in all things, in worship, in work, in ministry, in mission, you might find and enjoy the fruitful life, a life of great meaning and purpose, a life that will satisfy you because God himself is giving you life and working in and through your life to help you grow to be even more fruitful. What good news is this? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you, though you could have left us, you could have abandoned us, lifeless and withering branches, by your grace and your goodness and your deep love for us. You have picked us up off the ground. You have reconnected us to the vine in Christ. You've given us life and nourishment and are working in our lives so that we might bear even more fruit than we might ever imagine or think. God, if this is what you're doing in our lives, then may it be. Help us, Lord, to understand how better to grow, how better to be fruitful. Give us eyes to see so that we might see the things in our lives that need to be pruned away. Give us the faith and the courage to endure those painful pruning experiences. And Father, give us hope and life in the knowledge, in the faith that you are not done with us yet. You have more fruit that you will produce in our lives in the days and years to come. We believe that the best is yet to come because Jesus is our true vine. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we do our benediction here, send you off with a blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace today.